And we are going to begin today's morning show with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, paying sort of a surprise and unannounced visit to the morning show. And you can probably imagine why. As all of you surely know by now, southeastern Wisconsin is rocked with extraordinary news that indeed Foxconn is coming to the area. As far as I know, we still don't know exactly where, but this enormous facility is going to be built somewhere within the WGTD listening area and somewhere within the Gateway Technical College District. And President Brian Albrecht is, in a sense, right at the ground floor of this extraordinary project. In fact, he was on hand at the Milwaukee Art Museum yesterday for the agreement signings between the state of Wisconsin and Foxconn. We'll get his impressions of what that event was like, and then even more importantly, talk about the potential role that Gateway might play in this gigantic project that stretches before all of us. President Albrecht, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you. Good morning, Greg.
Thank you for making time for this impromptu conversation.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, like you said, every time you talk about this item, I get a little goosebumps here because this is so unique and so special, and I think so very different for all of us to even try to conceptualize the magnitude of the project and the enthusiasm all the way from the President of the United States, the Speaker of the House, and, of course, Governor Walker. And it is really going to, I think, be a transformational change for the way we think about the future that we not only work in, but that we live in.
Right. And right here, Dave Cole, our general manager, was telling me the other day, actually, this is probably more than a week ago when some of this was still a bit up in the air, but he was saying this is going to be the biggest story in southeastern Wisconsin since the closing of the car plant. I mean, particularly on an economic front, no single event has been this big, and maybe in the history of the state, there's never been a single event as potentially transformative as this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing as well. Our largest single capital foreign investment in the history of Wisconsin and potentially the largest in the history of the United States. So this is a major commitment by Foxconn to not only invest in the United States, but invest right here in southeast Wisconsin. And I think it certainly poses some challenges, but what an opportunity. I mean, it's so unique and so special. It will not only help drive the way we think about the jobs in our area, but I think it will begin to build a lot of bridges between our communities, whether they're local here in Racine and Kenosha or way beyond into Chicago, Milwaukee markets. And, you know, it has an impact that ripples throughout the entire nation.
Tell us a little bit about what yesterday's event was like at the Milwaukee Art Museum. We were there. Those of us who were watching the feed over WGTD saw you actually front and center in the frame as part of the audience there.
Yeah, well, I've been very fortunate to be involved in a lot of the conversations around Foxconn and what it might mean for our region. And, you know, when I arrived yesterday for the big celebration, of course, the first station I saw was Dave Cole and WGTD, so I was really proud of that. And thank you for your coverage of all of these great stories. But it was not only ceremonial, but I think it was really uplifting because this discussion around Foxconn has really brought a new level of optimism for our state, for our nation, and certainly for our region. So a lot of great dignitaries, all of our legislators, elected officials were there, local elected officials, state elected officials, and business leaders, and they were all coming together to talk about what this could potentially mean for the economic prosperity of the companies that they represent and of the region, and how this can hopefully transform the way we've positioned Wisconsin as a leader in innovation and technology.
Mm. I thought one of the most interesting remarks made by the gentleman from Foxconn, I have his name here someplace.
Terry Goh,
that's right, was his description of the United States and the Middle and the Midwest as part of it. His description of the coasts are the wings, but the Midwest is the muscle, right? At the heart of the bird. And that's a really interesting way to think about the Midwest, a part of the country that often is overlooked by those more glamorous coasts.
Right. I don't think I will ever forget that. I mean, I had not thought of that. I knew the project was called the Flying Eagle, but I had never thought of the contextual framework that, you know, on the West Coast, much of the activity is around innovation and technology, Silicon Valley, and in some ways it can become a little disconnected from the individual person. And on the East Coast, he commented that that's very transactional. That's where a lot of the financial districts are, in New York, New Jersey, and so on. And while they operate in both, and they need both, they're a technology-driven company based on an economic framework of financial transactions, his message was that the heart of the country was really built around the Midwest and the manufacturing principles and work ethics of the individuals here. And he really felt that being a part of that family, and he used that term often, was important to him. In order to let the wings of the eagle soar, you needed to have that work ethic and that commitment to the job that needs to be done. And I think it sends a really strong message to not only Wisconsin, but the entire Midwest region on the values that are established here and our heritage and our history, and how we now can become a part of what I'm calling the new economy, and that's an economy driven by technology, innovation, and the way that we really want to maintain our economic viability as a world leader.
We're speaking with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and kind of a surprise conversation reacting to the events yesterday with the signing of agreements between the state of Wisconsin and Foxconn, and talking about the potential impact that this development is very likely to have right here in southeastern Wisconsin. President Albrecht, I really am curious to know, I think a lot of people are curious to know, what kind of conversations have occurred between Gateway Technical College and any of the powers that be discussing this possibility? I suspect there's a limit to what you can tell us, but I hope you can at least give us a general sense of how many and what kind of conversations have occurred and between whom, and what kind of things have been talked about.
Sure. It's getting a little easier to talk about it because in the beginning, of course, there's an awful lot of confidentiality, and there still is. So, you know, there are many decisions that need to be made, and you wouldn't want to derail any of those great dialogues that are going on. A lot of relationships are being built. But a little over 2 months ago, we did have the opportunity to host a delegation from Taiwan at our S.C. Johnson iMed Center, and began the discussion around what technology applications we already had and in place, and training programs like engineering and IT and mechatronics and systems automation and computer numerical control.
And can I just ask, did you know at the time what that was about? I mean, before they arrived, did you even then have a sense of what this visit was about?
We had a pretty good idea. We didn't know exactly what the anticipated magnitude of the project was, but we knew it was called Flying Eagle, and we knew that there were folks looking at some investments in our region. And we do this quite often, actually. We work closely with Racine County Economic Development Corporation and Kenosha Business Alliance, CABA. And as new companies move to our area, Gateway is invited to those meetings to think and talk about what services we already provide. More importantly, what do we have to look forward to in the future? You might recall 2 months ago we were working with Haribo. They announced they were moving to our region, so that was an important dialogue to think about mechatronics. Ironically, Foxconn is also the same industry platform around mechatronics, and so we're working to ramp up our programs. But to get back to that visit, I mean, that really helped set the stage for me thinking about how important it was that we really start to look at the cooperative agreements that we have with our university partners, with our K-12 partners, and building a talent pipeline for thousands of people, not hundreds, but thousands. And while we were accustomed over the years to be able to adapt to economic changes and bringing in hundreds of students, we're not quite familiar with bringing in thousands. So we're working very diligently to ramp up our services and make sure that we're ready when Foxconn is ready.
Right. I have to say, this is going to be kind of a strange thing to admit, but as I've been watching different things on television, some of the faces I've seen on the screen regarding the training of all these workers have been the faces of someone from MATC or from Herzing or from Marquette. And I keep thinking about, well, what about Gateway? Because obviously that's the school I care about the most and know about the most of these kind of schools we're talking about. Does this shape up to be kind of a competitive situation in terms of Gateway versus MATC versus other potential schools who could play a really important role in this? And how is that likely to shape out?
Yeah, I don't think it's I wouldn't use the word competitive. I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity for everyone to benefit. I mean, the region, this whole effort being coined now as Wisconn Valley is much more than any single community could possibly manage. You're talking about, you know, 10,000 plus employees in the factory, but then you're also looking at another 20 to 30,000 employees that are going to be needed to support all the supply chain companies and all of the, you know, the new services that are going to be required. So I think there's opportunity for all of us. And in the current structure of our educational systems, I mean, you'd have to double the size of any single campus in order to even begin to compare to this. So it's better to leverage the resources of a Waukesha County Tech, a Milwaukee Area Tech, or Black Hawk. And we've all met already, all the presidents, and we are we're working very diligently to find out how we can leverage the faculty that we have and the technology and equipment that's in our labs already, and see if we can't find ways to streamline the process, shorten programs. In fact, we'll be meeting with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee to take a look at some new engineering opportunities that could be brought to our district down here. So, you know, while we hear different quotes and comments from other educational institutions, I don't see that as a negative. I think it's very important to recognize that education and training is key to these new jobs. So these are not the kind of jobs that maybe you might have gotten 40 years ago right off the streets. These are technology-driven, computer-literate employees with an advanced interest in innovation and technology, because what they build today is not what they're going to build 5 years from now. So we've got to be able to be thinking about lifelong learning, and it's going to take a lot of our efforts to help educate our entire citizenry on what the future is.
And so you're already seeing a spirit of cooperation between these various schools. You're all going to be in this together, in a sense.
Yeah, and you know, in the Wisconsin Technical College system, I mean, that's been one of our cornerstone anchors here, in that we collaborate between colleges. Currently, we share programs with METC, and we do an awful lot of work with Waukesha County Tech, because we're in the Milwaukee 7 region together, and so we do a lot of have a lot of dialogue around economic development and business development. I think this particular interest by Foxconn changes the dynamics a little bit, again, because of the magnitude, but also because of the massive amounts of interest that we're going to need from local suppliers. So you're talking 7,000 contract workers in order to build the facility. Then you have to maintain the facility. Then you have all the infrastructure that goes around supporting it, housing developments. And there's so many elements that surround the idea of a Foxconn campus that the whole region's going to benefit.
Right, absolutely. And of course, on the one hand, I'm watching, for instance, a newscast from Milwaukee, and it only makes sense that they would pick up the phone and call MATC or Marquette. But in fact, this is going to happen, it looks like, right here. I mean, so in a sense, this will be on the home turf of Gateway Technical College. But beyond that, of course, this speaks exactly to some of the most exciting innovations that Gateway has already developed. I mean, this is right on the bullseye in terms of what this school has stood for now for the,
yeah,
for the last 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually shared that in the meetings last night in Milwaukee. I said, they asked if we're prepared. I said, we've been preparing for over 100 years, right? We were prepared in 1911 when there was a major economic shift in this region, and we put programs together to support a transition to the automotive industry and developing mechatronics and automation as we moved through the 80s and 90s. And here we are today in 2017 looking at a highly integrated technological system where IT is integrated with manufacturing, and we call it smart technology. We're probably all familiar with the things that we like on our phones, where you can control your temperature at home with an app, and that's the interoperability. Those are the driverless cars. That's how things work today, and many people call it the Internet of Things. And so while we have programs that are positioned for that, this really sets our eyes on the future. And I saw yesterday in Milwaukee what some of the future might look like when you have robots that are taking care of security systems, and that was really impressive to see. And you know, the liquid crystal glassware that they're using to do eye surgery, and it was absolutely remarkable. And I know our students and I know our employers in this area are ready for that, but this puts a magnitude on it that says not only do you have to be ready, we need to be able to run with this right now and start to really get into the R&D and think about the types of material science programs, chemical engineering programs, IT manufacturing programs, and robotics programs. And so it will set the stage for a lot of growth for Gateway and all the other colleges in the area.
Right. What is your best understanding of the timeline that they are at least vaguely thinking about?
Yeah, I'm telling our team to make every decision using the model of halftime. So that means that if you had a meeting that was going to last an hour, make a decision in 30 minutes. So they're on a fast track here.
Okay.
We're ramping up. In fact, last night we posted on our website an introduction to some new careers at Gateway, and we're encouraging people to take a look at it. Our classes are open for enrollment right now, and I remind all of our teams that, you know, it's a 24-month window in order to build a facility like this, which means that's a two-year degree. If you start today, you'll be ready, right? So don't wait until everything is done and then decide, I think I might want to apply. Now is the time to get ready. Upgrade your skills, build talent pipelines, work at the high school and middle schools to help encourage kids to go into these types of careers. This is really grounded on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, and puts a real strong focus on our region to be able to transform our educational system to deliver that. So for me, the timing is now. We're not going to wait. And hopefully for many that are interested in these types of careers, they'll take a good hard look at Gateway.
Right. One of the things that I think we were hoping for yesterday was some announcement to be made in terms of the location of where this exactly was going to be built. And maybe that was naive, and maybe that's just our impatience, but I know a lot of people are really very, very curious about that for a whole lot of different reasons. My understanding is no exact location has yet been chosen, and I want to ask you first if that's your understanding also. And I also wonder if you could just take us inside the process of what kind of things are looked at, what kind of things need to be considered in order for the site for this gigantic plant to be ultimately chosen.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. A site has not been disclosed. I don't even know that it's been selected finally. In fact, it might be multiple sites. You know, there's so much conversation going on. But I think anytime you put together an economic development proposal like this, one of the things that really overlays it is just the size again. You go back to that magnitude of the facility itself and all the supporting systems. But that means you need to have property. And so we're not talking about hundreds of acres. We're talking about thousands of acres. And so it's a big region that will be impacted by this. And that includes things like services that go out there, water, sewer services. You heard the mayor of Milwaukee yesterday talk about the wonderful Great Lake that we have and how water's becoming the economic driver, and it certainly is in this industry as well as many others. So you got to have water, sewer, electrical, power grids. You know, this technology is really a high sophisticated technology where little things like vibrations make a difference. So you've got to try and find where roads are located and where train tracks are located and airports are located and all the things that we kind of take for granted as we drive around our community. Those have an impact on how a facility can operate and transportation, logistics of employees. So it's not a couple of people going to work. It's thousands going to work every day. And how do you maintain that flow of traffic? And, you know, these are the types of operations that run 24/7. So you've got to make sure that you have backup systems to keep them all going and that there's a way that you can not only fit within the context of the scope of the project, but also fit within the community in which you reside. So, you know, you can't let one company take over the entire identity of a community. So it's downtown areas, it's outlying areas, it's rural areas, it's urban areas, and there's just a lot of dialogue. Maybe some of it's because many of them have different jurisdictions. So you've got municipality, townships, cities, and everybody, you know, has a governance model, and all those governance models need to come together. So it takes time, and right. I think that's what they're working through.
Is it possible that this matter could derail the project? And I guess that was one thing I wanted to ask you too. As has been reported, there have been a couple of instances with much, much smaller projects that ultimately did not come to fruition. Do you see any possibility here that something like not being able to secure the right location, is it conceivable that this project could be derailed? In fact, not come to pass?
Well, you know, I think it's always conceivable. You know, you never know exactly what's going to happen the next day. But this is the way I explained it to our team. When the President of the United States announced it at the White House, the governor, the speaker, everybody there, and the CEO and owner of the company is there, it's like jumping into the deep end. We're in. We're swimming a little bit to try to make sure, but we're in, and we're going to make sure that it works. And I think our communities, that everyone that I've talked to in our communities, they're really excited about this, and we'll find a way to make it work. And we want it to work because the folks that I've met from Foxconn are just terrific people with great members of our community. And like I said, they'll help us grow with them. So this isn't something that they're expecting, you know, Racine or Kenosha or Milwaukee or Wisconsin to automatically change and adapt to their models. This is a growing partnership, and I think it's, you know, growing pains in any organization are tough, but this one, the statement and has been made all the way from the President of the United States to the CEO of the company, and Governor Walker's got some major investments that he's proposing for the state of Wisconsin that the legislature will take under consideration. So a $3 billion investment by the state is not anything to take lightly. So we're going to try to make it happen.
Let me just ask you a couple other real quick things. In terms of Gateway, you just talked about how we don't want a company to come in and just kind of swamp the community and as though nothing else matters.
Correct.
I mean, a lot of things that are already in place really matter. Even for a place like Gateway, do you worry at all about how the wonderful plethora of different offerings that Gateway offers and that are valued, how tricky is it going to be to continue to offer everything else that has nothing to, at least directly, to do with this new project of Foxconn? Do you think very much about juggling act is going to mean?
There's a lot of balancing that needs to happen. And but I look at it like this. So Foxconn, it's a large organization, but it is like its own community. So it will need a fire department. It'll need security systems. It'll need health care. It'll need IT systems. So all of the programs that we offer have a chance to benefit from it. While we will focus on manufacturing and high-skilled careers in those areas, it's not to say that those 10,000 people aren't going to need nurses and dentists and doctors and all that sort of. So,
well, and landscaping
and horticulture,
and
aviation,
cooking, and
transportation, logistics. They're going to need cars, all those things. So for me, it's really about how do we make sure that everyone knows they're a part of this solution, and the college will grow incrementally as a result. Now, initially, certainly we're going to have some startup programs, like I mentioned, in advanced manufacturing, and those are critical for us, because while we've done some investments in there, this is a larger focus on that, and we'll balance it out, because we don't want to put all of our eggs in one basket either. We want to make sure that we can support all the great companies and all the partnerships that have been here for many years, legacy companies like SC Johnson, Snap-on, and Sinkerator. Those companies have made a difference and allowed Gateway to be where we are today, So we're going to make sure we maintain our relationships with those companies as well.
Very good. I know you and Gateway also stand for environmental sustainability. Are there concerns we need to be really worried about in terms of the environmental impact that this has? And what do you know about Foxconn and its history of being attentive to environmental concerns?
Yeah, and I know, if you Google it right now, you'll get a lot of different perspectives on Foxconn. And I think one of the things to remember is that whether it's Foxconn or any other company moving to our region, there are federal laws, state laws, local laws, and jurisdictions that follow all of that. And I think most companies that I've worked with anyways have really wanted to become a part of the community and not kind of separate themselves and say, I don't have to follow the rules. So our intention is to make sure that we support Foxconn in the development of that cultural transition that, of course, they will make as well. A company that's putting $10 billion into this facility, I don't think is going to cut corners. I don't think they're going to try to find a cheap way out, right? They're going to make sure that water's protected. They're going to make sure that their products are clean. It has to be. It's a clean working environment. So they know the importance of air quality. And I think this gives us a chance to demonstrate to the nation and to the world that manufacturing can be done in a really efficient and effective way and still protect our environment. So I think it's going to be a showcase facility.
And I appreciate it. What the gentleman from Foxconn had to say in terms of what we can learn from one another. I mean, and he seems to genuinely relish that opportunity.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm already thinking about we're going to expand some cultural competency courses on campus and think about some of the things that we do on our international front. We have students that travel internationally. We have partnerships in China already, so it's not brand new for us. And many of our companies have great establishments already there. I mentioned Snap-on. They have 4 facilities in China. I had a chance to go visit some of those. So there are pieces of this puzzle that already exist in our community, and now we're just going to turn those over and elevate them a little bit, and we can learn from that. And that will help not only Foxconn, but it'll help Snap-on. It'll help all the companies that are already doing business overseas.
Excellent. Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you slipping this into a very, very busy schedule, and we know over the next months and years there's going to be all kinds of exciting updates that we'll get from you, and we look forward to being part of this exciting story. Thank you for being part of the morning show
today.
You're
very welcome. It's my pleasure. Just glad to be a part of Wisconn Valley.
Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College.